Chime is changing the way people bank by offering a rewarding, fee-free banking experience built specifically for you. Unlike traditional old banks that hit you with monthly maintenance and overdraft fees, Chime believes you shouldn't have to pay to get your own money, which is why they provide access to thousands of fee-free ATMs. I'm always looking for ways to save on everyday purchases, especially with all the extra spending that seems to come up over the summer. Chime can make it easy to save by offering 5% cash back on your Chime card in categories like gas or groceries. Your savings will also grow faster with a 3.75% APY, which is 9 times higher than the national average. Beyond the savings, Chime offers flexible tools like MyPay, which lets you access up to $500 of your pay, and SpotMe, which allows for fee-free overdrafts up to $200. Chime is not just smarter banking, it is the most rewarding way to bank. Join the millions who are already banking fee-free. Head to chime.com/48hours. That is chime.com/48hours. It only takes a few minutes to sign up.
Chime is a fintech, not a bank. Banking services for MyPay and Chime Card provided by Chime's bank partners. Optional products and services may have fees or charges. Stated annual percentage yield and cashback for Chime Prime only. No minimum balance required. Checking account ranking based on a JD Power survey published October 20, 2025. For more information on APY rates, MyPay, SpotMe, and travel perks, go to chime.com/disclosures.
Can you believe our country is turning 250? When it comes to furniture worthy of America's 250th birthday, Bob's has the styles all Americans want at the everyday low prices we deserve. Plus, everything is backed by glowing 5-star reviews from real customers. For ultimate relaxation, check out the Sedona Power Reclining Sofa. It's a genuine leather dream with built-in charging and Bob-O-Pedic seats made for chilling in the AC all day. You can even grab the matching love seat and recliner. If you're hosting summer parties, the Homeworks dining set is a must-have, offering comfy Bob-O-Pedic seating and hidden storage in both the table and bench. For maximum flexibility, the modular Bob sectional is a customer favorite with over 1,000 five-star reviews. It features family-proof construction, wireless charging, and Bob-O-Pedic memory foam for hundreds less than competitors. It's just $250 per piece. It's a total steal. Celebrate the 4th at Bob's. It's where America shops for furniture.
Down here is where the hunters had discovered the torso of a female in the ditch.
Jack, had you ever run into anything like this?
No, ma'am.
What day were you out here, and what do you remember from that day?
This was December the 2nd of 2022, I believe. We was hunting that block of woods that particular day. We all kind of thought it was a mannequin to start with. It didn't look real. And this area right here, and all around this is where all the trash, the bags of clothes, the tote, the knife, that's where all that was found right here.
And your big priority was to find the rest of this woman and find out who she is?
That's correct. It was getting about dusk. I started walking and got to a point where I'm looking up and the sun's going down. It's shining in my eyes and there's an oak tree, and I kind of look behind it and I see a little disturbed area, a mound. All the remains were found fairly close to the edge of the road. And at that point, as far as what we knew, the female had dark brown hair.
You put out a sketch?
GBI had a forensic artist put out a sketch.
According to deputies, hunters found the body in the area of Barrington Ferry Road. This sketch from the GBI serving as one of the only glimpses of who the woman could be.
I was like, whoa, wait a minute. Like, that looks like Mindy. That looks like Mindy. And I just froze. I said, I have reason to believe that this person is Mindy Kasotis. Looks very like, much like her. I was like, I want to be wrong. I have never wanted to be wrong like this in my whole entire life.
A drive through the area shows how dense the wooded area where the woman was found can be.
That was on the local news, but I had zero reason to connect it to Mindy.
So you get this call from the Georgia Bureau of Investigation agent, and he says, you're not going to believe what I'm about to tell you?
Yeah, he absolutely said that. I think the first thing through my mind was disbelief. I had been told back in December that she had died in the hospital.
That's what all of the immediate friends and family of Mindy's had been told.
Nobody was looking for a murder victim. They thought she had died of natural causes.
What did they think had happened to her?
She died at the hospital on December 1st. She's not in the woods. She was cremated.
What do you do? What do you do when you're in a situation and you feel like something is wrong, but also the entire story is so crazy, who's going to believe you?
Erin Moriarty reports, The Woman Who Died Twice.
Investigator Jack Frost, now at the Liberty County, Georgia DA's office, was one of the first detectives called to the scene on December 2nd, 2022.
The hunters had seen a knife and a tote and some wipes back there.
Detectives recovered a razor-sharp Milwaukee brand knife, a plastic storage tub with what looked like traces of blood and wipes. Do you think whoever brought her out here had to know this area?
That would be a safe assumption because it's so desolate.
It would take 5 days until Investigator Frost found the rest of her body. Authorities said it appeared the woman had defensive wounds.
There's no one that winds up dismembered in the woods that's not a victim of homicide. My name is Lori Bayo. I'm an assistant district attorney with the Atlantic Judicial Circuit.
Investigators from the Georgia Bureau of Investigation released two sketches.
There were hundreds and hundreds of calls and leads that came in through the forensic sketches that were published from civilians calling in.
One call came from a woman 500 miles away in Virginia, Heather Thomas.
I was like, whoa, wait a minute. Like, that looks like Mindy.
Mindy Kasotis.
Heather Thomas, turned out, is one of the people that recognized the photograph and said this could be Mindy.
Heather recognized Mindy because Mindy was married to Heather's ex-husband, Nick Kasotis, a naval officer, a lawyer in JAG, the Navy Judge Advocate General's Corps. Nick had traveled the globe, was deployed to Iraq. He served in Italy and the Pentagon. He dealt with sensitive cases involving Afghanistan.
He definitely had an air about him of confidence, of reassurance, but never in an egotistical way, because you could sort of pick that out from a mile away.
Heather and Nick got married in 2009. Back then, she was a brunette. Was he wearing a uniform?
Yes, he was in his uniform. I had two different dresses. It was a very big deal. It was a happy day. He had a lot of friends and he just knew everyone, and he had a very outgoing personality and just was a talker and loved to read and it was very different than kind of how I was.
Things started out well, but eventually, after 6 years, their marriage faded.
I felt like we had grown apart. I felt like he was my best friend, but at the same time, like, didn't have the romance.
And in 2015, they divorced. Nick Kasotis bounced back quickly. That same year, he started dating Mindy. She was working as a legal secretary in Washington, D.C.
Mindy was the consummate romantic for a while there, right?
Angela Nguyen and Morgan Paddock were longtime friends of Mindy. Angela says Mindy met Nick on a dating app.
When she finally did meet him, that was just her fairy tale ending coming to fruition.
Even Heather was happy.
He told me all about it. He was so excited that they met. And I was excited for him.
Nick and Mindy married in 2016. Her friends say the couple soon started looking for a home and planning a family.
It's one of the things that she wanted. She wanted to have kids.
And Mindy became a podcaster.
We both were on her podcast.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Compelling Women podcast.
She just wanted to find the stories of women and elevate them.
I'm Mindy, your host, and I'm really excited to share with you another thought-provoking interview with a different compelling woman.
Mindy and Nick's life seemed good. After leaving active duty, he was still practicing law.
I was so happy that she was so in love and just so enamored and ready to move on to that next phase of her life.
But her friends say Mindy's life began taking some strange turns.
She once told me, Morgan, if you knew everything that was going on, like this is something that would be a like best-selling novel or a best-selling movie.
Mindy and Nick started moving around a lot, living in three different states. She rarely saw her friends, they say, and was so worried about security, she started communicating through the encrypted Signal app.
We only ever talked on Signal. If we called, it was through the Signal app, and if we texted, it was through the Signal app.
And whose idea was to use the Signal app?
Oh, Nick.
And Mindy said at one point, she was being spied upon.
I remember her saying, I may have had a tail.
Someone following
yeah,
her.
Yeah, yeah. It ramped up after that.
Mindy's life ramped up into a series of stranger and stranger events.
She told me they had been hacked by a hacker group. Their bank accounts had been completely frozen.
They didn't have any money at all.
And she told friends that Nick said they were being surveilled. And that he told her.
We have a security issue now, and now we're in danger.
Mm-hmm. She thought her life was in danger?
Mm-hmm.
It was, according to Mindy, all connected to Nick and some classified work that he had been involved in during his time in the Navy.
There had to be video surveillance in a van down the street to just keep watch to make sure the comings and goings of their home were safe.
Nick warned Mindy that an undercover team disguised as tree surgeons were planting surveillance cameras around their house.
It sounded crazy. It did sound crazy because that does sound like something you see in a movie or read in a novel. But again, you're talking to Mindy, whose husband is a JAG, who has all of this military clearance.
By June 2022, Nick and Mindy were living in Savannah. Friends say she was afraid to leave the house. Did she sound scared?
Oh, she was scared.
My summer schedule tends to fill up fast. I spend more time outside, and I tend to make more spur-of-the-moment plans, which means I have less time to run errands. Instacart can make it easy to get groceries and household essentials from thousands of stores in just a few taps, which means you won't have to worry about running that last-minute errand. With delivery via Instacart available in as fast as 30 minutes, it's a simple way to stay stocked without disrupting the day. Shoppers carefully select items based on your preferences, helping ensure quality produce, trusted brands, and the right items every time. It's a streamlined experience designed to fit into busy routines and changing plans. Whether it's planning ahead for the week or handling something spontaneous, Instacart enables delivery on your schedule so everything shows up when it works best for you. Instacart brings convenience, quality, and ease right to your door so you can focus on what matters most. Download the Instacart app now and get groceries just how you like.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? done well. Electrical upgrade, done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well.
Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find a pro for your project at Angie.com.
As Mindy's friends worried about the strange events in her life in Savannah, 500 miles away in Virginia, Heather Thomas had been trying to track down her ex-husband, Nick Asotis, for nearly 2 years.
I tracked him going to South Carolina. He had said something about Georgia, and that was always in the back of my mind.
He owed her money from their divorce, $1.5 million. A court had ordered him to pay and issued a warrant for his arrest. His law career was now in jeopardy.
If he was willing to throw away his license to practice ever, and he was just going to throw all caution to the wind, you're now dealing with a scenario where you can't assume anything. So you have to be prepared. I had to be prepared for anything.
Heather had a friend who was training to be a PI. Through him, she would discover that Nick had been on the move. She would later find out that he had gone from state to state, living in Airbnbs, motels. Heather didn't know it, but Nick and Mindy were now hiding out in Savannah, Georgia. That summer, Mindy had told her friend Angela that she was pregnant.
She's very excited and very happy.
But months later, just after Thanksgiving 2022, Angela got an unexpected call from Nick and couldn't believe what he told her.
He called me. He told me that Mindy was gone.
Mindy, Nick said, had died from a sudden medical problem, but his details were sketchy. He told her she had been cremated. There was no funeral, no memorial.
I'm not hearing anything from anybody, and I need to know what the hell is going on. Because in my mind, you know, Mindy's not gone until I see that she is gone. And I told him that several times, like, I need to see it. I need to see her. I need to see her.
She tried to reach Nick again and again.
He just dropped off the face of the earth. It was a very hard and confusing time.
At around the same time, Nick's ex-wife, Heather, had also gotten a message telling her that Mindy had died in the hospital.
I was contacted saying, hey, you know, Mindy's dead.
What was your reaction?
Horror. I was just like, oh my God. I felt terrible because no matter what our beef was, Nick and mine, like to hear that a woman around my age is now dead, I was sad.
And just weeks after that sad news was still sinking in, Heather received more surprising news in a text from an acquaintance.
This person says Nick is dead.
Nick Asotis had died in a car crash.
And I said,
So you didn't believe that then?
I immediately didn't believe it. I'm like, well, something's fishy here.
But Heather wasn't the only one who heard that Nick had died. Mindy's parents received an email from the security department at the tech company where Nick told them he was working. It read, I'm very sorry to inform you that Nicholas passed away late Wednesday evening. As Heather tried to get more details, Googling news sites online, she came across that police sketch, the one that looks so much like Mindy, and called authorities in Georgia. That helped police make a positive identification. And once they got a DNA and genetic genealogy confirmation, they finally had proof that the woman found in the swamp was indeed Mindy Asotis.
Once they figure out who she is, all of these things that they've been learning about the evidence found at the scene all ties in.
Investigators could find no evidence of Asotis dying in a car crash. What they did find was a new driver's license in a new name. Nicholas Killian James Stark. They tracked him to Lancaster, Pennsylvania, where he was now living with a third wife, a tech worker and fiction writer, Samantha Kolesnik. He had told her he was a widower. In May 2023, detectives brought Katsotis back to Georgia for questioning. He told them a detailed story, similar to what Mindy's family and friends had heard, about being pursued and harassed by unknown individuals connected to government work he had done.
There was a couple different stories. It was that there was some fallout from some stuff that Nick had done at the Pentagon. He was a potential target for a terrorist group. It was real top secret stuff, and that it was really super sensitive and almost like a, you know, secret agent type of life where they just hid in plain sight, but had to kind of be careful.
The once buttoned-down, straight-laced attorney and former Naval JAG officer now looked scruffy. Katsotis claimed that he reported the conspiracy to the FBI. And that's when, he says, a federal agent came to their home, offering to protect them. His name? Jim McIntyre.
I came home one day, and Mindy said that an FBI agent had come to the house. That, you know, he was serious about what was going on and, you know, wanted to meet with us both and talk about it.
And that was Jim?
That was Jim.
Did they show you any credentials or anything?
I don't recall.
According to Nick, for 4 years, Jim McIntyre took control of everything in the couple's lives, telling them when to move and where.
Jim told you to jump off a cliff. You were going to go jump off a cliff?
Yes, sir. For years, we did exactly what Jim told us to do.
He wanted
full access to our lives. He said he was keeping us safe.
Nick, you're living a web of lies. You're talking parallel realities. That's what you're doing here.
No, sir.
Nick Katsotis had spun such an elaborate story for detectives, they had a hard time believing anything he said. They began to suspect that he made up everything, that he was the author of the email sent to Mindy's parents announcing his death, complete with a company he didn't work for.
It's kind of like, yeah, we can see through all the lies now.
This is such a nightmare. Why is this happening?
Detectives began asking him about Mindy's last days. Right around Thanksgiving of 2022, while Katsotis was out of town, he said, Mindy texted him, saying she had taken a fall and had checked herself into a clinic. He was vague on details.
Tell me about the day that you got called to the doctor's office.
I got a phone call. I forget from who. I don't know if it was somebody I knew or not, asking if I could. I don't think it was somebody I knew. Asking if I could come and pick her up that afternoon.
When Nick arrived, he told investigators, the doctor gave him bad news.
I sat down and he said that he, you know, was very sorry to tell me that Mindy had passed away suddenly.
So he said Mindy had passed away
suddenly.
Then what happened?
I was extremely upset. I thought I was coming there just to pick her up and bring her back. He said he wasn't sure what had happened.
You go to this doctor's office. They tell you wife died. You don't ask to see her. You immediately.
I did ask to see her.
You don't get to see her.
Katsotis couldn't tell investigators where the facility was or the names of anyone he spoke to.
You don't forcibly go any further to see her. You just take them at their word. You don't know her names. You don't know her addresses. Don't know how to return there. Whatever. You just leave.
But if Mindy had died at a Savannah clinic, how did her remains end up in a swamp? Nick told detectives he had no idea, but insisted he didn't do it. What Nick didn't know at the time was that detectives were already building a case against him.
I think it's easy for people to think about doing something, but I think the act of doing it and then trying to cover up all the loose ends after you've started, it's almost impossible.
For starters, when detectives ran a background check on Nick, they discovered he owned a green Ford Explorer. A green Ford Explorer that looked just like the vehicle investigators had spotted on a surveillance video from a remote pumping station near the crime scene.
And why was that camera so significant in this case?
Because it captured Nicholas Kasotis' Explorer driving past it, going in and out of that area.
And that wasn't all. On a hunch, days after Frost had processed the crime scene, he checked with Home Depot stores, which sold that Milwaukee brand of knife.
Agent Frost had contacted Home Depot because he had worked another case and was familiar with the brand.
One of those knives had been purchased from a store just 50 minutes from the hunting club, with a debit card belonging to Nick Kasotis. Here's a surveillance photo of Nicholas Kasotis right after he paid for that knife. There he is, and you can see the knife right under his arm. And there were more knives. When Frost had checked out a Bass Pro Shop in Savannah, he discovered that Kasotis had also used his debit card there and bought a knife kit designed for hunters.
This is a seven-piece pursuit field dressing kit for animals. This is like the same kit that was purchased by Kasotis. And there is an assortment of knives.
Oh my God. I'm not touching this. These are very sharp.
Very sharp. And then there is also a bone saw.
Now, with Kasotis apparently tied to the knives and the Ford Explorer, they subpoenaed records from his phone and the Ford's GPS system.
The car records showing his vehicle and phone traveling down to exactly where her body is. He has no reason whatsoever to be there other than that his dismembered wife happens to be found there when he told everyone else she was cremated.
Back in the interrogation room, detectives confronted Kasotis with their discoveries.
I mean, who else has the luck of going on a 25,000 acre property and getting captured on video? It just so happens your phone, even your car, shows clearly where you were at down this long dirt road that just happened to pass a camera and tracks your every movement.
We put you and your cellular device and your vehicle out there in these places where your wife's body is found, dismembered, with the knife that you just bought.
Why did you kill Mindy?
Sir, I didn't kill Mindy.
You killed Mindy.
I did not.
All the evidence shows that you killed Mindy and will continue to show. It's kind of like a 1,000-piece puzzle. You burned some of the pieces. But we've got enough to see a very clear picture.
But Kasotis insisted he was innocent and pointed the finger at the man he says had been controlling their lives, Jim McIntyre.
Are you alleging that Jim killed your wife?
I don't know, but I think it's possible. She should have never been in this situation. You should have never listened to Jim.
In February 2024, a little over a year after Mindy's death, Nick Kasotis was indicted for the murder of Mindy Kasotis.
It's very difficult for me to believe that Nick Kasotis could murder anyone.
Wellness routines often fail for one simple reason, and I can speak from personal experience here. They're too complicated to stick with. Too many bottles, powders, and steps usually means they get skipped when life gets busy. Grunes is designed to simplify that. Grunes is a convenient, comprehensive formula in one delicious daily pack of gummy bears. It combines a multivitamin, green supplement, and prebiotic into one complete daily serving. Each serving comes as a daily pack of gummies because you can't fit this level of nutrition into just one gummy. It's formulated with intention, vitamins at 100% daily value, and minerals around 25% to support balanced daily nutrition. It also includes 6 grams of prebiotic fiber, which is 3 times the amount found in leading greens powders, and more than 2 cups of broccoli. Grüns ingredients are backed by over 35,000 research publications. Grüns is vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, nut-free, with no artificial colors or flavors, and it is HSA FSA eligible. Save up to 52% off with code HOURS at grüns.co. That's code HOURS at GRUNS.co.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history-telling podcast chronicling the epic story of America decade by decade from the 18th century to the 20th. Original music and immersive sound design accompany us on our storytelling journey. Listen to and follow History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today and let us surprise you.
Philip McCaller had walked these grounds of the Portal Hunting Club for years.
I just laying in the ditch.
Before the December day in 2022, when he made that gruesome discovery.
Kind of thought it was a mannequin to start with. It didn't look real.
Strewn along the swamp, the remains of the once vibrant 40-year-old Mindy Cassotis. More than 2.5 years later, her husband, Nick Cassotis, charged with her murder, was in a Hinesville, Georgia courtroom.
We'll begin the trial at this time with the opening statements.
This trial would prove to be unlike any other from the get-go.
My name is Doug Weinstein, and I am representing Mr. Cassotis.
In an unusual move, the prosecution forced defense attorney Weinstein to open his case first.
I honestly think it was purely a tactic to try to get into my head a little bit and make me off balance.
Mr. and Mrs. Cassotis were told that they were targets.
Weinstein immediately set the scene for the defense. The alleged killer, he says, was actually another victim.
Nick Cassotis is a man who lived in fear. Relentless, all-consuming fear.
Running for his life.
It's hard for me to ever believe that Nick killed Mindy.
Instead, Weinstein told the jury Cassotis had been duped and deluded by the mysterious figure, Jim McIntyre.
You will hear testimony that a man calling himself Jim McIntyre, claiming to be with the FBI, told them that their lives were in danger.
Cassotis is not a killer, he says. More like a frightened, desperate hero.
A decorated military veteran. He served in Iraq. He was in the Pentagon.
But prosecutor Lori Baio says the real Nick Cassotis is revealed by the gruesome evidence left behind.
And unfortunately, you're going to hear about the dismemberment.
Baio showed the weapon found near Mindy's mangled body.
A Milwaukee, orange-handled, black-sheathed knife.
Cassotis' DNA was not found at the crime scene, but that knife is the same brand, investigators say, as the one seen under his arm.
That's him, on surveillance, from Home Depot.
On the same day that authorities say Mindy may have been murdered.
The state calls Samantha Kolyesnik to the stand.
Along with the facts and forensics, the jury heard tales of betrayal,
do you swear,
including one by Cassotis' third wife,
Samantha Kolesnik.
Yes.
She believed she had married a loving widower, but later learned that Mindy was still alive when Nick first started messaging her.
She had no idea that he was leading this double life.
I don't think words will ever capture how I felt, but I felt, if I had to choose some words, I'd say horrified, shocked, traumatized, violated, deceived.
Samantha also told jurors Nick wanted to quickly start a family.
I went to a preconception appointment right around the date of our marriage, yep.
Nick and I met at Naval Justice School in 2008.
Retired Commander Cameron Nelson described the Nick that she and others had once believed was an honorable, proud patriot.
And I was scheduled to deploy aboard the USNS Comfort, which...
When she received a serious cancer diagnosis...
Unfortunately, I wasn't able to go on that deployment.
Kasota, she told the jury, stepped up and stepped in.
Nick immediately volunteered to take that deployment so that I could focus on treatment.
But that same Nick Kasota, she says, also betrayed her trust. When he told her that his financial accounts had been hacked, she lent him money and even gave him a credit card.
How much did the defendant charge to that credit card?
Approximately $198,000.
Has he ever paid a penny towards that debt?
Not a penny.
The man Cameron thought was a patriot now seemed like a calculating con man.
And we decided that it was just not sustainable to continue to allow him to borrow money.
Please raise your right hand and take the oath.
First wife Heather Thomas testified about her own betrayal with its court order for Kasotis to pay up on their divorce agreement.
Did the defendant cooperate with the divorce obligations?
No.
Did that cause any kind of hardship to you?
Of course. It put me through a lot of emotional stress.
Did he ever comply with that court order for the $1.5 million
in the interest and the attorney fees?
No.
The jury watched that video of Kasotis' green Ford Explorer, less than a mile from where Mindy's remains were found.
And that camera captured that vehicle, is that correct?
The water pumping station camera.
Thank you.
Special Agent Tracy Sand said he wasn't just sifting through physical evidence. He had been on a hunt for a star witness.
Did you ever make an effort to locate Jim McIntyre?
Yes, ma'am, I did. There was only one in this area. I'm in the Savannah area.
And this McIntyre was definitely not an FBI agent.
An older gentleman. He managed a company that sold dental implants.
Could you identify any connection between that Jim McIntyre to this case?
I cannot.
It's a powerful circumstantial case against Nick Kasotis that only one man can rebut.
The defense calls Nicholas Kasotis to the stand.
Please raise your right hand and take the oath.
For more than 3 hours, Kasotis repeated to the jury his story about the mystery man who he insists controlled every detail of Mindy's life and his.
I gave Jim McIntyre access to literally everything. He had access to our home. He had all of our bank accounts.
Why would an accomplished attorney listen to some guy who just shows up and do whatever he says?
Well, that's the million-dollar question, right? Why would he do that? All I can think is panic.
The defense offered no pictures of McIntyre, no records. Just Kasotis' testimony.
I had no reason to doubt that he was who he said he was.
And Kasotis claimed he was only in the area where his wife's remains were found because the manipulative McIntyre had told him to go there.
Did you kill your wife, Mindy Kasotis?
I absolutely did not. I would never have hurt Mindy.
Did you dismember her body?
No, absolutely not.
Then what about that knife cradled under his arm? Kasotis said it wasn't about murder. It was for home improvement, a broken screen.
I was having a very hard time keeping the netting on it and keeping it secured up there. So I was looking for something that kind of long and thin.
What is Nick's strongest defense?
His strongest defense is it's entirely circumstantial. There was zero evidence presented at trial of how Mindy
was killed. And frankly, where Mindy was killed, they don't know.
Attorney Weinstein closed his defense with this reminder to the jurors.
The state has an incredibly high burden to meet because they have got to show guilt beyond a reasonable doubt. And they haven't done that. They just haven't done that.
As the trial wrapped up, the mystery man, Jim McIntyre,
can't find a person that doesn't exist,
never appeared in this Georgia courtroom.
I submit to you, there is no Jim. He killed her. He took her from everyone. A bright light, kind, good-natured. I submit to you, Mindy, she deserves your attention. This case is about her. Look at the evidence and come back with what is the only appropriate outcome. Guilty of all charges.
There are people you are told to trust. Lawyers, teachers, especially doctors. But what happens when you put your life in someone's hands and they betray you? The hit podcast Dr. Death is back, and this season is unlike any other. Dr. Death the Cowboy is the story of a charming neurosurgeon who rode into Western towns selling a persona of confidence and care. He wore cowboy boots in the operating room and became sought after by patients he promised to heal. Instead, he left a trail of broken bodies. This season is about a doctor who was never truly held accountable for the patients whose lives he ruined. A story of greed, betrayal, and a fight for justice that will leave you questioning who to trust. Listen to Dr. Death the Cowboy wherever you get your podcasts, or binge the entire series right now only with Audible.
On this show, we cover what happens in the hardest moments, but there's another side to every story. The people who show up, the ones who run toward crisis, who stop the bleeding, who bring people back. Doctors, nurses, first responders, the people who hold the line. Most of them, they wear FIGS. Because FIGS makes scrubs designed for performance. Lightweight, breathable, with four-way stretch and smart, functional details, like moisture-wicking, antimicrobial fabric, and pockets where you actually need them. If you work in healthcare or love someone who does, you know how much that matters. Get 15% off your first order at wearfigs.com with code FIGSRX. That's wearfigs.com, code FIGSRX for 15% off.
Nick Kasotis and his attorney had hoped to convince the jury that he wasn't capable of killing his wife, Mindy, but somebody else was.
It is not my job to figure out who killed Mindy Kasotis. That is the state's job. It's a huge job, it's an important job, and it's a high burden.
What's the motive for someone else to kill her?
Well, again, we go back to Jim McIntyre. That's the only person.
The mysterious Jim McIntyre. Prosecutors say there is no Jim McIntyre, that he doesn't exist. Do you have any evidence he does?
I have no evidence that Jim McIntyre exists.
Do you have a picture of him?
I have no picture.
Any kind of documentation that showed that he worked for a federal agency?
All that we have on Jim McIntyre is what Nick has told Mindy. If I had any way to prove that Jim McIntyre existed, you would have seen it at the trial.
Why should anyone believe Nick Kasotis' story when he's a liar?
He lies a lot. He told some big lies, but nothing like murdering your wife. I just refuse to take the leap of because you lie about certain things, you're a murderer. It's just too far for me to go.
Even prosecutor Lori Baio admitted that despite Kasotis' inconsistencies, jurors might have doubts about his guilt.
If you look at him on paper, he looks like Prince Charming. My mom and dad would have said, oh my gosh, he's a wonderful catch. He looks fantastic. So why wouldn't you believe him?
But Bayo says Katsotis has been fooling people for years.
He gaslighted everybody. Not stupid people, not people that are unaware. And they all bought it.
Including Mindy.
She believed him. I mean, there's no one disputes that Mindy never left the house, that she was terrified and that she stayed home every moment of her life, afraid that if she left, that she'd be killed.
The real story, says Bayo, was much more mundane. Katsotis was hiding, she says, because he didn't want to pay his ex-wife. Was Nick Katsotis gaslighting his wife and making her believe that their lives were in danger when in fact he's just running from a debt?
You know, that's possible.
I mean, he's a prosecutor. He's a lawyer. He might be able to convince her of that.
He also knows how to handle the legal system. So there's $1.5 million judgment against him. There's all kinds of ways to get rid of this debt. You don't need to live a miserable life for 5 years because of a judgment that you can't pay.
But why kill Mindy?
Why do you believe Nick Katsotis killed his wife? What's the motive for it?
That was the hardest question to answer.
But juries want to know.
It was my argument to the jury that everybody said Nick wanted a family. He wanted kids. He really wanted to have kids.
But so why kill her?
I think he found out she wasn't pregnant.
In fact, Mindy's death certificate said she was not pregnant.
Ladies and gentlemen, please be seated.
Jurors took just a little over an hour to reach a verdict.
It's my understanding that the jury has reached a verdict.
Count one, malice murder, guilty. Count two, felony murder, guilty.
Guilty on all charges.
I don't believe for a minute Nick ever expected a guilty verdict to come back.
Before sentencing, Mindy's friend Morgan Paddock spoke directly to Katsotis.
She loved you and trusted you to tell her the truth, to protect her, to live out your marriage vows. And yet you were the one that she needed protection from.
He is remanded to custody.
The judge sentenced Katsotis to life without parole.
Why did so many people believe Nick Katsotis?
You know, all I have are questions from this case, right? I don't have answers. So many people, college grads, professionals, career Navy officers, believed everything that Nick and Mindy told them about why they were living the life. And I think it's because when Nick would tell them something, they believed him.
The people in his life are still struggling with a betrayal.
Is that hard for you then, to think that you were married to this man who then killed his wife?
The thing that I struggle with, I think, even now, is the fact that survivor's guilt is very real. Out of the two of us, he probably had more reasons to perhaps maybe come after me. I trusted him with my literal life, and I believed him.
Mindy's friends now accept that they were all betrayed by Nick, but they hope Mindy will be remembered not as a victim, but a woman who saw the light in other women and tried to capture that in a podcast.
And it was beautiful and it was special, and it was talking to a friend and knowing that she had a platform and she wanted to use it for good.
The Compelling Women podcast is written and hosted by me, Mindy Katsotis. Thank you so much for listening to the first season, and I promise to be back with another season as soon as I can.